Hello, this is Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer.
Welcome home.
Soar into tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey, it's Amy from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, Clubbers, it's Scott from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, it's Kathleen from DVC Clubhouse.
Welcome aboard, it's Phil from DVC Clubhouse.
Hi, everyone, it's Amy from DVC Clubhouse, back with another episode of the Debrief podcast and my co-hosts, Phil, Scott, and Kathleen. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Welcome aboard, guys.
I need to share with you guys that I was just out to dinner with Allie, and she's home from college for spring break, and her friends that are also home wanted to know what time she was able to hang out later. And she said, well, my mom needs to be home by 6:30 because she is recording an episode of her podcast. And so her friends went and looked it up, found it, and were listening to it, and told her that she thinks that Debrief is a very clever name. So we have the endorsement of 19-year-old college students. So
fantastic.
Awesome.
I thought that was a fun little boost to have some validation from my kid and her friends.
Rad.
Totally rad.
Oh god.
That's awesome. They just shut us off now.
Never did I think we would be talking about 19-year-old college students on this podcast, but here we are.
Well, you know what? Just stay tuned and you never know what's going to happen in the clubhouse.
Sounds like a Debrief After Dark just waiting to happen.
So anyway, we are going to be talking today about the lounges at Disney World, what our favorite lounges are. You know, I think that for me personally, I think that the lounges are kind of like the unsung hero of Disney dining because they are a cross between table service and quick service because you don't need a reservation. You don't need to order like a big heavy meal. You can get, you know, small plates and appetizers and snacks in areas that are, you know, really well themed. And I love them because I think that they give you like the flexibility of not needing to make a reservation, but still having good food in a cool environment and still being able to have wait service, which is a nice bonus for me on vacation. You know, it's like nice to be able to sit down and have somebody bring you your food and your drinks, which is not what happens at quick service. So I'm a big fan of the lounges across Disney World. So I thought that maybe we could take a dive into that today. Phil, I know that you have younger kids, so lounges are not really at the top of your priority list when you're figuring out where you're going to be dining.
I am going to be remarkably quiet on this episode. I don't think I have set foot in maybe 3 lounges across property. With little kids, it just typically doesn't factor into where we end up on any given day or evening. I think the only few times we've been there and gone to a lounge have been either trips where we have been there without the kids, or no, I think that's it. I don't know that the kids have ever stepped foot into a lounge. Perhaps maybe at Beach and Yacht Club because we got there late and the kids were hungry and we needed a small plate. So we may have gone in at that point. But I think that might be the only time the kids have actually seen the lounge other than walking through Tambu on the way into Ohana.
So there's a drink at the Allen Compass Lounge that is called How Dare You. And I think Emily should probably try that.
I think Mackenzie needs to try that. We'll just get the one without the grown-up stuff in it.
That's why I said Emily needs to try it for Mackenzie.
Insert soundbite here.
I was just going to say that. Here's your cue.
How dare you say that?
Well, you know, Phil, it's totally understandable. I mean, I think that, you know, when you vacation with your kids, you want to know where you're dining, when you're dining, and know that you can get in when they're going to be hungry. But maybe after this conversation, you might decide to take them to one or two, because I do think that I think a lot of people hear lounge and they get scared away because they think it's just like a bar. But the majority of the lounges across Walt Disney World property are family friendly, have great theming, and they all have kids items on the menu. So I think that it, you know, could be something worth checking out. Why don't we start with Scott?
I knew. Why are you starting with Scott?
I said that.
Yeah, why?
I did it on purpose because of your own comment before we started recording.
That sounds judgy to me, Scott. I don't know that I'd take that from her.
She saw my reaction, too, and it was totally worth it when she saw my reaction, too. That's okay. I'll go first.
I was looking right at you waiting for your reaction when I said it.
You got it. Definitely, you got it. But I will go first because I like the lounges. I don't just go to the lounges for the drinks, as everybody has said, but a lot of the lounges have really great food options. And the cool thing when you talk about lounges, you cannot say this about table service restaurants, because I think we all agree the best table service restaurants are at resorts, and they're a little lackluster in the parks. The cool thing about lounges is you can find great lounges in a park, but you can also find them in the resorts, and they're fairly equal. And I might even argue that there's a couple of lounges in the parks that are better than the ones at the resorts. So I'm just going to throw the first one out there that I want to mention, and that's at Animal Kingdom. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody loves Nomad Lounge.
Yes, we do.
Not just for the drinks. Again, they have probably some of the best food that you can get in Animal Kingdom, and they change their menu all the time. That's a really great thing. You can get the staples there. They seem to always have the churros. I think there might be like a salad or something that they always do. But this last time they had these little mini Cuban sliders. They had wings.
Those were very good.
Which were delicious. I wish I could remember exactly what they were. I know that they've had chili dogs with a twist in the past. They've had the lobster mac and cheese. So it's not just like your typical, you know, bar bites of pretzels and things like that. This is going to be a more upscale, I don't know, kind of a fancier bar menu, if you will. But the food there is fantastic.
I like how they change the menu every so often. It's not the same things all the time, every time you go there.
The bread service is something you can always get there. That's what I was missing, the Tiffin's bread service.
Interestingly, this is one of the only ones that I've actually been to, and it's because we were there a few years ago with my wife's brother and his wife, and they have the gluten-free churros. And because her diet is so limited, she had to get in and get the churros. So I actually went in with her. I think we got that, maybe the grilled chicken satay. Those were the two on the menu she could eat, and she was dying to try.
So the cool thing about Nomad Lounge is that it shares a kitchen with Tiffin's. And so you can order pretty much anything off of the Tiffin's menu at Nomad Lounge, which is just like a nice perk. I love, speaking of those gluten-free churros, I think they're delicious. I think that they're better than the regular churros at Walt Disney World. And I love the gobi manchurian, which is, you know, like a cauliflower with like a sweet and spicy sauce on it. It's so good.
I'm sorry, did you say cauliflower?
I did.
One thing about Nomad, when you look at the menu on My Disney Experience, it's not correct sometimes, because when you go there, they have the little menus on the table that is not on My Disney Experience. So you can't really go by your phone all the time with that place, because they're constantly rotating their menus out.
Yeah, and they even have, and again, because you can order off of the Tiffin's menu, they might have items that are not on the menu, even on the table, that they serve at Tiffin's, and if you ask, they will allow you to eat it at Nomad Lounge. I love Nomad Lounge. It was like, when it first opened, it was kind of this hidden gem that no one really knew was there, because it was kind of unassuming off to the side as you were walking into Pandora. And I think because it was connected to Tiffin's, and Tiffin's, I feel like Tiffin's has kind of taken some time to gain momentum in terms of people wanting to eat there, mainly because, as we've said a lot, it kind of is a half day park. And so many people have left the park by the time it's time for dinner. So Tiffin's doesn't typically get too crowded. I stumbled upon it with my sister and my daughter and my nephew because we were at Animal Kingdom on a day where it was just hotter than the surface of the sun, and we just could not bear to be outside anymore. And so we discovered Nomad Lounge, went inside and sat down on a comfy couch, amazing air conditioning, and ended up spending 2 hours there because we just kept ordering these small plates off the menu, and the cocktails are really great. And also the mocktails. I mean, my nephew and daughter were, and still are, underage, so they were able to get some fun drinks that they enjoyed. And ever since that time, it has become, in my top three favorite lounges at Walt Disney World.
You talk about magical and places that, you know, really, when you talk about the feels and things like that, when it rains at Nomad Lounge and you're just sitting outside and you can finally relax and just enjoy the rain hitting the water, I've never experienced anything like that before. To me, that's one of the best places in all of Walt Disney World. And I'm shocked that I'm saying that about Animal Kingdom, a place at Animal Kingdom, but it really is a must do every time you go there.
Every single time we go. Now, like you had mentioned before, you know, most lounges, you don't need a reservation, but you do with Nomad. You have to join the walk-up list to get in there.
Yeah, Nomad Lounge is someplace that I rope drop every time. It opens at 11. I line up at 10:30, and especially because the majority of the time I want to be able to sit outside, except for when it's really hot, then I want to be inside. But when you go on a day where you can be outside, they have those ceiling fans, and like Scott, you said, you're overlooking the water, to be able to make sure that you get an outside seat, got a rope drop Nomad.
Yeah, we've waited over an hour easily for that reservation, but definitely it's worth the wait.
So moving to a different park, Baseline Tap House, I don't know if you would count that as a lounge. I mean, I kind of feel like it is. It's maybe a little bit different because it doesn't have like lounge seating per se, but it's that type of kind of,
right?
I don't know, you know, where you can get drinks and you can get small plates and snacks, like that charcuterie board and big pretzel. I mean, I guess it's not fully a lounge because it doesn't have a full bar menu and it doesn't have lounge seating, but it's kind of, for me, like that crossover between quick service and, I don't know, maybe that is more like quick service. I don't know. What do you think?
Like a quick service lounge, if there is such a thing, because you get your food right there and just take it to your table.
Right.
But great food. I mean, the pretzel, and have we had the charcuterie there? I don't think
we have not.
This is the one we hear about all the time that we've always said we're going to try. But I think this is the one that to me leans closer to bar and less lounge, just because their menu is so small that there's just not a lot there for me.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and really, even to call it a bar, I mean, it only really serves beer. Wine, I think.
Right.
So it doesn't even have like a full cocktail menu. But I don't know. For me, it kind of, it fits the bill for me in terms of just having a place to get, because they also have those, like, what is it? Like, there's some sort of sliders there that are good.
Some sort of like
beef sliders. Yeah.
I don't think they have them there.
They were the steak, the puffs.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
It may be there, but it's not on the menu. The menu right now is showing simply the Bavarian pretzel, spiced almonds, and California cheese and charcuterie plate. I do not. I mean, they've got an impressive selection of beer, but they do have 20 different liquors on their list
that are
available. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just the beer, and they're all West Coast. They're all West Coast beers.
And they have the best cider on property, which is the Ace Space Bloody Orange Hard Cider. Just in case anybody ever wants to try a really good cider.
Oh, I'll bet you just got my wife's attention.
Oh, it's so good.
That is a good, that's very my good favorite. Cider.
And then, you know, I've never really sat down at the Hollywood Brown Derby Lounge, but I know a lot of people like it there. I think that's another place, though, where there's often a wait. And so you need to do the, like, join the walk-up wait list, and it can take a while.
So that place kind of disappointed me, because when we went there, we had just recently eaten inside the restaurant. And of course, the drinks that you get outside in the lounge, they make them a little bit different. They don't make them quite as fancy as they do in the restaurant. They're all plastic cups and kind of a watered down version of what you would get in the restaurant. But one of my favorite drinks at the Brown Derby was the grapefruit martini. And it's usually like dusted with a graham cracker crust rim. If you get it at the lounge, they just basically mix it up, throw it in a plastic cup, and send you on your way. There's really nothing fancy about it, but that was a really good drink. That's a memorable drink. Anybody ever been to Tune In since we're at Hollywood Studios?
I have.
No food, right?
No food.
So they got unique drinks, but I'm kind of shocked that they don't have food, being that they're connected right to 50s primetime. That would be an interesting lounge menu if they did.
Yeah, I have a feeling that because that is a lot of like spillover for waiting for to get into the restaurant, they probably don't want to have people sitting there and ordering food, because it would impact the number of people that could actually wait for their table to be ready inside.
The Tune In peanut butter and jelly cocktail. I just want to throw that one out there too. Really good cocktail. Peanut butter whiskey, blackberry brandy, Bailey's Irish cream, topped with a maraschino cherry. Peanut butter and jelly.
I swear, Emily and you share the exact same tastes in drinks.
Well, I've become more of a bourbon guy lately, but some of the drinks, I like the specialty drinks that some of these places do. But if, like we were talking about Nomad, the Tempting Tigress at Nomad is a really good bourbon with allspice. And
It has tamarind in it too, I think.
Tamarind, and then there's a little bit of allspice in there too. And it's almost like a Christmas bourbon deliciousness.
Yeah, that's my favorite drink at Nomad. I think, you know, for Tune In Lounge, I haven't been there since before COVID, because they took away the seating in there for a long time. So it was just basically a walk-up bar. So like it kind of turned into a bar because there was no real like lounge seating. But it's a fun vibe. I mean, primetime 50s primetime cafe is just like a really fun vibe. And that's just like a spillover of that theming and that like throwback to like 1950s. So that's just like a fun, just kind of a fun place to be for a little bit, to take in that environment.
So we've mentioned all theme park lounges so far.
Well, I was going to say, let's head over to Epcot, because I also love La Cava.
Oh yeah. How can you not mention La Cava?
I think the one time, me, you, and your friend,
my friend Linda. Yeah.
Linda. We
and
sat
Lily.
And Lily. That's right. We sat in there forever just because it was so hot and
it was pouring rain out too.
And then it poured, and we had chips, salsa, queso, and drinks.
Len Testa did a tequila tasting there a few weeks ago, and he was talking about it on his show. And I have never wanted so badly to drink in all of my life than to listen to him talk about how amazing that tequila tasting was.
Yeah, so there's a drink there called the Lily. It's a little pricey, but it is probably the best drink, to me, at least, at La Cava. It does not taste like tequila at all. Like, I don't know what kind of tequila is in there, but it just goes down so smooth. Like, you would think that you were drinking like a juice box.
Some of those silvers are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge tequila person, but there are a couple of margaritas on that menu that I really like. And I just love it's small and it can get crowded and, you know, you have to wait in line typically to get in there. But I just love, it's called La Cava because it's like a little cave, and it's fun to be sitting in this little cave. And that is one of the places where you kind of feel like you've been transported, right? Like that's, you've like stepped into this place that is not in Walt Disney World. It just feels like, it kind of feels like a little authentic to me. I mean, what do I know from authentic Mexico? But
I've only had a couple of drinks there. I've had the Lily. I've had the avocado margarita, which I actually enjoyed.
No,
you didn't like.
If you ever turned over your lawnmower and licked it, that's what it tastes like.
That's not true.
That's totally true.
I have not done that, so I don't know what that tastes like, but
when you do it, let me know. I promise you.
I just, for me, La Cava, I go there for the chips and salsa and queso, more so the drinks, just because I'm really not a tequila drinker. Yeah. But there is one drink that you like there that is not tequila.
No, it's actually called the Acapulco Colada. Try to say that real fast 5 times. Acapulco Colada. But I see Amy's about to attempt it, but it has rum in it. And believe it or not, at a tequila place, I think that is the only drink at La Cava that I actually like. Because the actual margaritas are just, I don't know what it is about the tequila that they use. I'm just not a fan of it.
No, I'm same.
I like their top shelf margarita. It's, I think, the most expensive one, of course. It's like $26 or something, and it's obscene. Well, no, there is one that's more expensive, I think. But my server told me not to get it because he said that it wasn't that good and I should get the top shelf instead because it was better.
It's probably the Lily.
I'm not sure what is used in the Lily.
It's somebody's signature
margarita
that she made, and I don't know her name. But it's a very...
Is it Lily?
Presentation. I think her name might be Lily. I don't know. Can we bleep this out?
How dare you say that?
This is how aneurysms happen right here.
I'm not sure. The drink is named Lily.
It's
but
not Lily.
Maybe that was her daughter's name.
Her name is not Lily.
She got a dog named Lily?
I think it is Lily. No, I think it is Lily.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I have to look it up now.
All right, you look that up, and let's just bounce over real quick to the Space 220 Lounge. I've only been there one time, and it's the only place I would go. I have no interest in dining there, but if you can get up there into the lounge, like, it's fun to do one time, but it's not someplace that I'm like pounding down the door to get into.
What was your favorite drink?
I don't know. Like I said, I was there once, and it was like right when it opened, so I had 2 cocktails there. And I don't remember what they were. I mean, to me, like, they were just okay.
Completely unforgettable.
Completely unforgettable.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with the lounge up there. I mean, it's a cool experience going up there for the first time. But other than that.
Well, it's pretty bad when the elevator ride is more exciting than the actual experience in the actual lounge.
So does anybody have anything else to say about the theme park lounges? Because I'm taking a look at the bookshelf behind Kathleen and Scott and seeing some cups from a lounge.
Well, real quick. So the Lily drink is by Lily Aldridge.
Lily Aldridge, right? Yeah, it just came to me.
Shocking.
Lily Aldridge, if you're listening, we apologize.
The only other one that I have been to in Epcot is Tutto Gusto in the Italy Pavilion.
Yeah, the wine bar.
And that is an amazing story, which gets better and better every time we tell it. So we were there with a bunch of Coast Guard officers and brass, and we're waiting in line, and the line has got to be easily 30, 35 people long. We are backed up all the way across the square in the Italy Pavilion. And we've got a buddy of mine, a really good buddy of mine, who's now overseas, who's standing with us in line, and he's one of those guys that I just despise because he just oozes charisma, and he's the nicest guy in the world. But I don't think we've ever gone anywhere where women are just not swooning as he passes. And we are 25 or 30 people back in this line, and this part is true, I swear. The hostess comes strutting out from the door past 20, 25 people, and she stops at Derek. And she looks at him and she says, are you waiting for a table? And he says, yes, we are. And she says, come with me. And she takes us out of line and walks us past 20 or 25 people and seats us at a table. It is the most amazing thing I have ever seen. And I don't know that I have ever been more jealous of another man in all my life.
We've never been there.
What, in that experience where somebody's taking me out of line? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. No, we've never been to that lounge.
Yeah. I ain't no Rico Suave.
Every time I tell the story at Coast Guard headquarters or at a dinner, and I talk about, she comes down and she just gently stroked his cheek or ran her fingers through his hair, that the angels sang, the skies opened up. But I swear, she walked past 25 people and walked us personally past the mall into the lounge. It's something you see on a movie and something I personally will never witness again in my life unless I hang out with him. But that's a story for the ages.
Phil, if we tried that, we'd walk up and be like, "How you doing?" And she would just look at you and say, "Back in line."
Someone's going to need to call security and have us escorted out.
Well, that wine bar is a place that I used to love to go, but that is like that was a casualty of COVID, where now you can't sit at the bar. You can only sit at a table. Like, you have to wait to be seated. And if you, and because of that, and there are so few tables that, I mean, you would wait forever. And the thing that why I will not go there is because I won't wait to sit down. Because if you order at the bar, it's just stuff that you take away. They put the wine into a plastic cup, and I would rather not have wine than drink wine out of a plastic cup.
You can stick your pinky out with a plastic cup. It's okay.
I will stick my pinky out on this one. I think I've shared this. I don't know if it was it with all of you. Definitely with Kathleen.
Are you going to talk about bringing your own wine glass?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did I say this? Yeah.
We talked about this the other night.
I've been known to bring my own wine glass at people. Right. I texted all of you about it. I have been known to bring my own wine glass to places if they are crappy wine glasses, because the wine glass is meant to, they're designed in that way because you're supposed to be able to smell it and swirl it. And like, drinking wine is an experience. It's not just like throwing it back to get drunk. You know what I mean? It's like, to really savor the wine, you need the right glass. So I'd rather skip getting the wine than drink it out of a cup that you could get at a dentist's office.
I thought that's what the spigot was for in the side of the box, isn't it? To aerate it so you can smell it?
Spigot. Sorry. Spigot.
I won't entertain conversations about boxed wine unless it's at Clubhouse Weekend, which we did have boxed wine there. And I am very appreciative for the wine that was provided at Clubhouse Weekend. And it was actually decent. So.
Good save, Amy.
I'm assuming you don't like boxed wine.
Somebody just went off the Lux Resort on us.
It's not my favorite, but you know,
I don't. Do
I like wine. But I like good wine. I don't like crappy wine. So, and I don't like wine out of crappy glasses. So, I know what I like.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Well, that's another conversation that I would like to have another time. What makes a wine glass crappy?
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's.
Yeah.
Just not here.
Okay.
It's not here.
Yeah, you and I will sidebar after this, and I can give you a PowerPoint presentation. That dates me, right? Like, I'm so Gen X that I just said a PowerPoint presentation instead of like a slide deck. Anyway, let's bring it back onto the track.
Epcot lounges.
So let's. Well, I think we were going to transition away from Epcot, right, and move to the resorts. And I was saying, I see some cups on your shelf behind you.
Oh, I'm like, what are you looking at?
They didn't even know what was there. They had to turn around and look.
So that would be
Trader Sam's.
I mean, Trader Sam's is an experience. It's a fun experience. I mean, as far as a lounge goes, I mean, Trader Sam's is a bar to me. But Tambu Lounge, yeah. I do like. I like the drinks there. I like how you can get the wings there, the noodles, the pot stickers from Ohana.
The nudes.
I like the seat. Even I like to sit at the bar at, what's it called? Sorry, I just lost.
Tambu.
I like to sit at the bar, but I really like to sit at the tables on the side, looking out the window, out on the lawn at the Polynesian outside. Yeah. That's my favorite place to sit there.
Yeah, but seats don't go up and down at Tambu. They do at Trader Sam's.
Yeah, I said it's a fun experience there.
That's if you can get a seat.
That's why you got to be the first in line. You got to get there at 12 o'clock and put your name on the
list. We have been at the bar at Trader Sam's before.
But the food at Tambu is far superior to the food at Trader Sam's. I will say that.
They have food there?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
They do. Tacos and flatbreads and spring rolls and
I didn't get any food there.
There's all kinds of food.
Oh my.
Tacos and flatbreads and spring rolls. Oh my. And dumplings. But yeah, the nudes at Tambu, those are good. Hard to beat that.
Yeah, it's a nice lounge. I like it.
Well, we should stay on the monorail loop.
We should, and get off at the next stop to, I think it's probably another one in our, the three of us at least share this in common that we love Enchanted Rose.
Instantly, yes. I smile. Ah, yes. The crown jewel.
Go ahead.
No, Enchanted Rose to me is the superior lounge in Walt Disney World. I just feel the theming is unmatched in a resort lounge. The drinks are 100% some of the best drinks served on property. And even if you get tired of the Enchanted Rose, you can hop on over to Citrico's Lounge. Narcoossee's has a nice little bar area that you can go to if you'd like to visit that. You can also get Citrico's menu at
Enchanted Rose.
Mm-hmm. So if you would just like a bite from Citrico's or a dessert from Citrico's, you can order that at Enchanted Rose. But hard to beat the theming and everything that they got going on there at Enchanted Rose.
I'm looking at the menu. You had me at truffle fries.
They are amazing.
Are good. And the one thing that shocks me about that lounge, of all the lounges in Walt Disney World, the one that serves beef jerky is Enchanted Rose. I mean, those are two things I don't ever put together. Beef jerky and Enchanted Rose. And I've had the beef jerky and it...
How dare you say that?
I'll be the first one to say...
How dare you say that?
I don't even know who put that on the menu, but damn. We need more truffle fries and less beef jerky for sure.
But you can get your favorite dessert from Citrico's while sitting at the Enchanted Rose.
The Apple Rose. I highly recommend the Apple Rose. It's an emotional
experience.
No, it's
called the Island Rose. Isn't it
the
Island Rose?
That's the drink, ma'am. That's the drink.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, yes. I thought you were talking about drinks. Did you just call me ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. There are multiple roses that you can get at the Enchanted Rose. One being an island and one being an apple. And they will all bring you to tears in a good way.
After hearing your position on wine, you're lucky we don't call you Your Highness.
I mean, I might answer to that.
Yes, my liege. Your
Be
Grace. More, she's
Be...
like, more wine. More wine.
I know. If we put together a montage, like a compilation of all of the times I've said wine and all of the podcast episodes, it's probably a lot.
Anywho's.
I think I said APM more times in the last episode than you said wine in all of our episodes combined. I think I counted 8.
I'm just glad you explained what it was, because I was just going to ride with it. I had no clue what it was. But I'm sitting here nodding my head like, oh yeah, APM. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I was like, what did you call it? What are you calling it? The APM?
I was listening to the replay. I feel like that scene in Super Troopers where he's got to say meow 5 times. Like, what was I thinking?
I'm thinking, where do you fly into APM at? Like, we're MCO? What's APM? I had no clue what you were talking about, but it sounded cool.
I will tell you that Enchanted Rose does have very good wine. I enjoy their wine list. And I just think it's so beautiful in there. I mean, I've said this before. Grand Floridian used to not be my favorite resort. But ever since they've tried to move away from like the 1980s Florida motif that they had going on in the restaurants and, you know, throughout the resort, and kind of shifted to this like pastel color palette. And, you know, they brought in IP, but the way that they've done it is so understated, like the touches in Citrico's that are Mary Poppins. If you didn't know 100% that Enchanted Rose was themed after Beauty and the Beast, like, I don't think you walk in right away and are like hit in the face with it. You might, after like looking around for a while, be like, oh, is this themed after Beauty and the Beast? Because you would like pick up on like the little touches. But it's just so pretty. And it does have such good, those truffle fries to me are worth a visit there just for those. They're delicious. So that's, I think that Nomad Lounge might be my number one. And Enchanted Rose might be my number two favorite lounge on property.
Two
truffle fries are my weakness. Truffle fries and ice cream. I can't say no to either one.
Well, you might need to add it to the list for an upcoming trip, Phil. Get some truffle fries at Enchanted Rose and your life will be changed.
Technically, you can get ice cream also at Enchanted Rose if you get it from the Citrico's menu. Just throwing it out there. Truffle fries and ice cream.
Truffle fries, ice cream, you and I walking through the lobby in our bathrobes before our Cousin Eddie impersonation.
I mean, I've...
Sounds like a date.
It's the ultimate day.
I mean, really.
Yeah, we got to go back to the, you know, your best day on the monorail episode and add some truffle fries into that.
Walking around the lobby of Grand Floridian in a bathrobe, munching on my truffle fries.
Is there anything in Magic Kingdom?
Tones? No, well, I don't think you can really count anything as a lounge.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't think really there is anything over there.
No. Didn't they announce that they're making some sort of tavern?
Yeah, in Adventureland across from Pirates, that's supposed to be rethemed into some sort of lounge.
Well, what's the dessert thing? The dessert party? Is that a...
Oh, like where Tomorrowland Terrace is?
That's simply an after party, though.
It's not really a lounge, but they do serve alcohol and snacks. But you got to pay a lot for it.
Mini cupcakes. Yeah, I've done that.
That's like an outdoor cafeteria, in my opinion.
And then, you know, Contemporary has a few that are good.
Well, the Outer Rim can go fall off of the edge of the Contemporary and sink into Bay Lake. Never to be seen again. That's where my whole idea about, you know, opening up a big lounge instead of that stupid merchandise shop on that concourse. Because Outer Rim Lounge to me is two thumbs down.
So my question to Amy, yes, I the opposite end of the spectrum. I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
But I love California Grill so much. And
you like California Grill? We had no idea.
I know. I come out with these shocking tidbits all the time.
Prefix.
I love the what?
You love the prefix.
You know, I would say that California Grill is, you know, like my top, you know, in my top three. But the problem with that is it's not really a lounge anymore. It's just a bar. You know, like they took the lounge seating and turned it into just regular tables. So there's no actual lounge. It's just the bar. But in terms of a place where I like to go to get, you know, small plates and to me, the best or tied for the best wine list on property, California Grill is definitely way up there. But that's different for me because that's not a place that I would go, you know, like when we meet up with people, I would never suggest California Grill because, again, you can only sit at the bar. It's not conducive for a group sitting around and talking. Like, it was fine, Kathleen, when you and I went because we were just sitting right next to each other.
Right. And you have to get there, like, right before 5 o'clock to even get a spot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think we got there, like, 15 minutes early and we got the last.
Right.
Two of the last seats. So a place like Enchanted Rose would definitely be a place that I would choose to meet people over, like California Grill.
I do like California Grill's lounge, definitely, but I also like Steakhouse 71 Lounge as well.
My girl.
I do like it there.
Now you're speaking my jam, because as good as California Grill might be, I think Steakhouse 71 trumps it.
They have a lot of food offerings at Steakhouse 71 Lounge.
I'm just going to read some of the food offerings that they have. Crab cakes. Loaded mac and cheese.
Which is very good.
The Steakhouse 71 onion rings.
Also very good.
Peanut butter and jelly chicken wings.
I really like those.
Shrimp cocktail.
Nope.
Bacon and eggs. The bacon and eggs. And the best burger on property. Did you say no to shrimp cocktail? Wow.
I'm like, nope.
That was great. I wish that everyone could have seen that because... She's reading over Scott's shoulder as he's reading out loud. And she's like, love that. That's great. And then her face when she said shrimp cocktail and she's like, nope, it was great.
So there's a video out there. I believe it was we did a review on Cape May. And if everybody check out the video on Cape May, because Kathleen actually tries a shrimp. It takes 10 minutes for her to swallow it, but she actually
on the DVC Clubhouse YouTube channel, which if you are not a subscriber, please subscribe. But yeah, look at the Scott's Tip for Dining video on Cape May Cafe, and you will be able to see how Kathleen really feels about shrimp.
Definitely worth it.
They have a lot of good food offerings there.
Steakhouse 71 to me has the best food options of any
lounge.
And you
can get the rolls, those rolls there too.
Yeah, they have their good. I don't know what they're called, but that burger, I just want to talk about that burger for a minute. The Stack Burger. So many good options for a cheeseburger, hamburger. We talk about the bison burger at Geyser Point. But this burger, just to be able to get it at a lounge, classic cheeseburger. It's just basic, good beef, good cheese. You can't beat it. I think it's just an all-American classic cheeseburger. And anyway, that's my plug for Steakhouse 71.
I mean, I think it looks cool. I don't know. I haven't been to it since it was the wave. And I don't know, it's just, there's something about that location that feels like so enclosed to me, which is what it's really like the environment that is not something that draws me to it.
Well, you feel like you're walking down a tunnel.
But maybe I got to give it a chance.
Yeah.
I feel like back in the day, isn't that where the quick service was for Contemporary? I feel like they had it down there, and like the small arcade was over there. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I vaguely remember the arcade. I totally got distracted the couple of times we've been there just because of all the cool old pictures on the wall. I didn't even, now that I think about it, you're right. It's a long walk down that hallway, but I was so fascinated with the old pictures.
Definitely a cool place to visit. I would rather go to the lounge than go to the restaurant at Steakhouse 71 any day.
Yeah, well, I've only been to Steakhouse 71 one time, and I was just found it to be kind of mediocre.
The restaurant is. Yeah, the restaurant is. It's very mid, like just kind of underwhelming. But the lounge itself, to be able to get all of the better food options that they have, it's a much better choice.
I think, unfortunately, Steakhouse 71 has become that, because we went when they first opened and it was phenomenal. And since then, it has gone down to just whelming. Not underwhelming, not overwhelming, just whelming. But the first trip there right after they opened was excellent.
So my dad is coming down in a couple weeks to visit for like a long weekend, and I'm actually taking him to Steakhouse 71 because he's a big steak eater. And I've been thinking the past few days that, you know, maybe I should change my reservation to something else for him.
I mean, it's a solid option, but it, like I said, it's more, to me, there's better options there if you want good steaks. But as far as the lounge itself, you want a good burger, good mac and cheese, good onion rings. I mean, you can't beat that. It's amazing.
So what would be next? Wilderness Lodge has a few lounges.
Yeah, I love Territory Lounge. I just think that it's so cool in there. Like the mural that they have on the ceiling. All of like the fun little like artifacts that they have behind the glass displays. It's just really, it just like fits it, you know, I just love the theming of Wilderness Lodge so much, and that just fits in perfectly. And they've done some really nice things with the menu recently.
Mm-hmm.
I love that popcorn sampler that you can get that has the five different kinds of popcorn. I think that's really good.
You like the old fashioned there, don't you?
They have a really good s'mores old fashioned. And don't forget to get the bone marrow while you're there. Disgusting.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No.
I'll pass on that.
It's amazing.
Well, and then you have Geyser Point.
Well, hold on. Let's just go back to Territory Lounge for a second, because the one thing that I do need to bring up, and it's something that you guys have experienced, is the last two times I've been there, they have told me that their dishwasher is broken. And so that they are serving all of their drinks out of plastic. And so the last time I was there and I went, sat down at the bar and ordered a glass of Cabernet, and they said, well, the dishwasher is broken. And I, as we've already covered, refused to drink a glass of wine. Well, not refuse. Like I would do it. But I was like, if I'm going to spend, you know, $20 on a glass of wine, I want it in a wine glass. And so I said, I mean, I was that person I said to her, I know that you're telling me that it's broken, but I really do not want to drink this wine out of plastic. Can I please have a real glass? And she did give it to me. Because I'm like, what's the worst thing? You walk over to Whispering Canyon Cafe and plop it into their dishwasher? Like, what is this madness? And Kathleen, when you told me that the last time that you had been there, it was broken, I mean, how long is it going to take them to fix this dishwasher? And how long are they going to make their guests who are, you know, many of them are paying hotel rates to stay there. And they're going in and ordering cocktails that cost, you know, $20, $25. And they're giving them a little plastic cup. I mean, fix the dishwasher for crying out loud.
Yep. Yeah, they're giving them in like one of those solo cups.
Nothing wrong with a Chardonnay and a red solo cup.
So, yeah, then that brings us over to Geyser Point, which I think is just a crowd favorite for many. They Although I know that you're boycotting it.
I am boycotting it right now.
I can feel the tension. All you have to do is say Geyser Point and I can just feel it.
It hurts me because I love that place so much for so many different, you know, not just the food, the drinks, the atmosphere there is, I love it there. I love sitting, just being outside. I love just being there. And when they took the most ordered item off the menu.
The brisket chips. Rest in peace.
And replace them with plant-based mac and cheese bites that taste like garbage. I'm sorry. I just don't understand. And now I have no reason to go back.
And now for all those reasons that you enjoyed being there, you no longer have those reasons anymore. The atmosphere sucks. Everything sucks. Because they took away the brisket chips. And we have not been back since.
We have been back one time. Well, I gave it a try.
That was it.
And I didn't like it.
And then you were like, I'm done.
And she had the garbage plant-based mac and cheese.
I did.
Yeah, they're not that
actually,
good.
They had a salad that I loved. It was a grilled portobello salad. And they got rid of it. But they replaced it with a salad that I actually really liked. So I was happy that they at least picked something that I could, that was a replacement that I could live with. So. But that place might be number three for me on my list of favorite lounges. I love watching sporting events there. I've watched the Super Bowl there. I've watched the Masters there on Master Sunday. Being able to sit outside watching, you know, either football or golf or whatever it is on the TV overhead with Bay Lake in the distance. I mean, that is like perfection. That is just amazing. It's like I can't put into words how amazing it is to just sit there and being able to watch a sporting event overlooking Bay Lake, having a drink, having lunch. You know, it's always a fun crowd there. I love it.
It's a good time. I do miss the appetizer there. Mm-hmm. And even the bison burger to me has kind of gone downhill. I've had it a couple times. But I don't know why they did what they did with the menu, but maybe they'll bring it back. But it's still a very nice place to visit. And like Amy said, the atmosphere, everything about it, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's a unique experience. Are we going to push back to Fort Wilderness since it's a new DVC property?
Oh, yeah. Crockett's Tavern. I really like Crockett's.
Some of the better food that we've had recently. That was, we had the, well, Amy, I know you had the fried green tomato sliders.
Yeah, those were really good.
And then we had some chicken bites with some unique blueberry barbecue sauce. Mm-hmm. And they had like a trio of sliders, like brisket, pulled pork.
The moonshine flight was decent.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty cool place to visit. I mean, for them not having that many dining options, that's one of the better, I would say one of the better taverns that you, mm-hmm. or taverns, lounges that you could probably pick.
Yeah, and for anybody who's interested, we have a video of that as well up on the YouTube channel that we did not too long ago, so check that out. And then why don't we hop over to Crescent Lake, because we're kind of coming up on time here. Crescent Lake has some good lounges as well.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say I'm a really big fan of Martha's Vineyard over at the Beach Club, mainly because I like how they have some food offerings that are pretty good there. I think their drinks are typical Disney drinks. They don't really have anything special at that lounge, like to them, but I think their food's pretty good there. And I think the atmosphere is nice.
Yeah, Martha's is nice. I think they got some of the better food options, mm-hmm. like you said.
Yeah.
I've never eaten there. And it honestly has never occurred to me to eat there. But I will definitely check it out. The reason why I don't typically go there is because, like, as you said, I kind of feel like the drinks are just standard. They're just Disney, standard. Like the like off of that menu that is in every bar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that exciting for me. And if I'm going to go someplace and it's still open, like, I just love Hurricane Hannah so much. So I'll typically pop over there instead. And I'm trying to think if I've never been to Cruise Cup Lounge. So when we go on my next or one of my upcoming trips, I'm looking forward to that because people really speak highly about their food menu.
We were just looking at that menu when we were over there checking out the Easter display, and it looked pretty good.
Yeah, they had some good food mm-hmm. offerings there. That was when we discovered that Ale and Compass Lounge had the How Dare You Drink.
Yes.
And then we hopped on over to where Yachtsman is at Cruise Cup. Mm-hmm. We've never been there before. We got to go over to Boardwalk now.
So yeah, before we go, I mean, these are the two I can actually speak on. We've done both Martha's Vineyard and Cruise Cup. We don't love Ale and Compass as much. I think that their small plates and appetizers leave a little to be desired. But I don't drink. You know, Em will have a cocktail every now and then. But Cruise Cup and Martha's Vineyard are fantastic for if you arrive late to the resort and you need somewhere to eat. They're comfortable. The atmosphere is phenomenal. You know, great stuff to look at around you, big, nice booths, and really good small plates and food. So there have been quite a few occasions where we've gotten to Yacht Club later on in the day or evening, and we need something to eat, and the kids are tired, and you need to be close to your room, and both of those have fit the bill perfectly.
Yeah, I'm looking at Martha's Vineyard menu right now, and it looks like they kind of changed it up a little bit. I know you used to be able to get mussels there, which was kind of a unique offering.
You did, and they were pretty good.
And now they offer the snow crab legs on their menu.
Note, no price on the snow crab legs.
No price on that, but I mean, that menu looked pretty impressive. The barbecue ribs, the snow crab legs, buffalo wings, their New England clam chowder. They have a charcuterie, tater tots.
Those are good. The loaded potato barrels.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good.
And then some crispy shrimp. I mean, that's a pretty impressive menu mm-hmm. for a lounge.
Yep, and there's something for everyone. We were easily able to get things that Emily and I would enjoy and things the kids would enjoy. And just another shout out for Cruise Cup. They also have truffle fries.
Nice.
Did not know that. So, I mean, moving over to the boardwalk,
Bellevue. Yeah. I like Bellevue Lounge.
I love Bellevue in terms of like the decor and like the vibe, but. And I also have nostalgia there. You know, when I got married there after our rehearsal dinner and everything, like that was the place where everyone who was at my wedding, it was like kind of like the meeting point where everyone would go and like have a drink. So I have nostalgia there, but they don't have food.
No.
So it's really like, that's kind of like straight up like a bar area. You know, it's like you drink and that's it. And the same thing with Abracadabar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something where I would love to see Boardwalk like step up their lounge offering in terms of have a place where you can sit that has ample seating and a small bites menu, because I mean, like I said, like that's how I prefer to eat anyway. I love to be able to get like two or three small bite plates that I can share with somebody versus just like getting an entree. I think that lounges for me are just so appealing, so I would love to see Boardwalk.
This is one of the things that kills me is we talk all the time about the lack of viable options at Boardwalk, and you look at the menu for Abracadabar, which is such a cool place. Mm-hmm. They literally share a men's and ladies room and a doorway with Trattoria, and you can't order the appetizers off the Trattoria menu. That's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
Don't they have truffle fries?
Like, they are right in between Flying Fish and Trattoria, as I call it.
Trat.
Cha-cha-cha. Yeah, Trat. But they have no food. I mean, and like they're in between two solid food places. So it's weird. The thing with Abracadabar too is like that is a place also where it's kind of hard to get in there because it's small and there's not a lot of seating. So
It's really set up as a cocktail lounge for those who are waiting for the restaurants on either side. And I mean, that's how it's set up. That's its purpose, obviously.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I guess we can bring up Gurgling Suitcase.
Jeez.
Hey.
I mean, other than Lorna, what is there to talk about there?
I
mean, the turtle crawl and Lorna.
The turtle crawl is an amazing. I like the turtle crawl. And I like the pickle chips there. They're really good.
Yeah, they actually have a couple of specialty drinks that are good there. I think that Gurgling Suitcase gives you like a fun neighborhood bar type of feel. I love it. I mean, it's not really a lounge per se. It's kind of a hole in the wall.
But that's very Key West. A little walk-in Key West bar. I mean, it's got that New Orleans Key West feel to it where it's just a closet that someone got a liquor license for. So you just grab it and go.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a darn charming hole in the wall. So, I mean, I love it. I have a soft spot for it. I go there every time I'm staying at Old Key West because I think it's just fun to pop in there. It's close to the pool. I enjoy it. And then Turf Club Lounge at Saratoga. I mean,
womp, 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 womp.
We've never been there.
Exactly. I mean, it's a nothing like that. And the thing that's disappointing to me is that they have the space to make it something better. But it's just a weird, awkward space. It kind of reminds me of what somebody's basement would look like with like a pool table and a discarded couch and a weird bar built into the wall. Like, I don't know. It's got a weird old time basement feel.
We did miss a few. We missed Riviera and Animal Kingdom.
Let's talk about Bar Riva real quick. I mean, I actually feel like Riviera is a place that's also lacking with a substantial lounge. And people would argue with me and say that they have one at Topolino's and they have Bar Riva. But Bar Riva is a pool bar. And the lounge at Topolino's is not. It's a bar in the restaurant and they have some outdoor seating. I think Riviera really needs to. I think that if they would... If they would serve, I mean, I guess because you can get a couple of drinks at Le Petit Cafe, but if they had if that was a full bar and then, I don't know, that space next to it, that room next to it with all of the Walt memorabilia, but I don't know, that's like a little disjointed feeling. It doesn't feel as welcoming as just like a regular lounge would feel. So I don't know. I feel like Riviera needs to step up their lounge game.
You're right, but if we're thinking about Riviera and we want like a quick bite to eat and a really good drink, we're all going to walk over to Banana Cabana.
Maybe. I mean, yes, but you should be able to, if you just wanted to pop downstairs from your room to hang out in a lounge, I just feel like Bar Riva's not it for me. It's just not it.
Nope.
I just want to point out that if you want something solid, you've got to walk to the Moderate next door, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, Banana Cabana.
But moving over, I think it's kind of appropriate. I mean, we can save a conversation about Disney Springs for another day because they've got some great options there. But I think that's a different conversation. I think that it's fair to end at Animal Kingdom Lodge because Victoria Falls. No, it's not fair.
I don't think it's fair at all because we're leaving out one of the best resorts for lounges that many people don't know about.
Well, you're not. And we know that you love Riverside. We know it. We're not talking about DVC resorts here, okay?
Whatever. It's Disney in general. We're talking about lounges. Real quick, I got to put a plug in for Coronado.
Oh, Coronado. I thought you were going to talk about River's Roost and Yeehaw Bob.
I knew he was going to Coronado.
Well, I could talk about that too. But Coronado, I want to just shout out real quick to Dahlia Lounge, and the view that they have is the best view on Disney property. Hands down. You want to talk about Three Bridges? I don't know if we can call that a lounge.
Yeah, we definitely can.
And yeah, anyway, let's just move on to Animal Kingdom now.
Kathleen just shut that down real quick. No, you're right. I think that Coronado Springs definitely deserves a mention in this conversation because they've got some great lounges. But in terms of DVC, I think... What?
Rick's. Sports bar, hello, Giants.
Barcelona. Yeah. Listen, that was a great night. But anyway, I think that we can end this conversation by moving over to Animal Kingdom Lodge. and talking about Victoria Falls Lounge, because that is also one of my favorites. I think they have a great food menu, and it's just, you know, it fits in with the theming of Animal Kingdom Lodge, of Jumbo House, and they have, you know, they have a nice drink menu. It's a place where I would probably put that as maybe number four on my list. So my number one is Nomad, number two is Enchanted Rose, number three, actually, what I said three was what? Geyser Point? And then, yeah, I guess that's fair. And then four is Victoria Falls Lounge. That's my order.
You like that goat cheese dip?
Oh, it's so good.
I think that might be my order as well.
Can I just point out that anytime I talk about food that I like, Phil looks like he's about to throw up.
We're talking about cauliflower and goat cheese dip. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't bring up the buffalo cauliflower style that they have. I mean, you if you order goat cheese when I'm sitting at the table, I'm calling the police.
Well, you'll be missing out because it's delicious.
It's like licking sweaty feet. It is not. It's stinks.
I can have the buffalo wings or I can have the buffalo cauliflower. I'll take the buffalo cauliflower. I'm calling the cops.
I did not enjoy that. I got it one time and I didn't like it at all.
Shocking.
Listen, something that few people might know about me is that I was allergic to milk as a baby, and for the first 6 years of my life, I drank goat's milk. So I really like goat cheese. I am the goat.
Wow.
Just, all of that has just been greeted with silence.
Oh, wow.
All right, folks. Well, if you have not enjoyed this episode, please feel free to run on over to Apple Podcast. Still, despite Amy's love for awful food, give us a 5-star review, a little love. Boost us up in the rankings. We'd appreciate it.
Or if you like goat jokes that are really bad.
Oh, it's getting worse.
Don't be so sheepish, Scott.
Wow.
So anyway, if you want to join in on the shenanigans, you can follow us on Facebook at DVC Clubhouse. Subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and TikTok. And until next time, we'll DVC you real soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
See you guys. Please come back after this one.
And so our journey comes to an end.
Oh, no, please. Can't we go back to page one and do it all over again?
We started this thing together, and that's how we finish it.
Because that, my friends, is where the magic lives. Happily ever.